Hour number two beginning. Dave Yeager coming up at 4:30. Kings will begin preseason action on Monday. And by the way, you may be interested in this. Actually, I think you will be interested in this. There are no longer full timeouts and 20-second timeouts in the NBA. They have gotten rid of the 20-second timeout, so that is a thing of the past. There are either mandatory timeouts, which on non-network games, meaning games that aren't shown on ESPN, TNT, or ABC, those timeouts will be 2 minutes and 45 seconds if it's a mandatory timeout. If it's a team timeout, it will be a minute and 15 seconds, and they have eliminated 4 timeouts during the game. So whereas in the past there were 18, there are now 14. They've done away with the extra timeout in the second and fourth quarter. There always used to be a break first minute, first whistle under, 10 minutes. Now that's gone. So no more 20-second timeouts, which was, they weren't really 20-second timeouts anyway. But they are now either a mandatory timeout or a team timeout.
Yeah, you know, improving the flow of the game, the pace of play, these are all emphases that they wanted to try to take care of for viewership, Grant. I think a lot of this is going to be a little experimental, but I agree with you. 20-second timeouts turned into what would normally be a regular timeout anyway. Also, making sure that the halftime is 15 minutes.
It's 15 minutes exactly, and so I think that is good. But I like what they're doing here. And here's the other deal. If you have free throws, if you step out of the key area, it's a delay a game. Shoot the first one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's get it going. Where are you going, buddy? Get in there. Let's go. Yeah. No doubt.
So I like what the
– which you have to be careful, Grant, because if you already get a delay of game and then
it's a technical.
It's a technical foul. Right. And, hey, man, this is a game of inches and points, and you don't want to give away any.
Yeah. So I like that, though, don't you?
Yeah,
I like what the NBA is doing. They're also going to change a couple of things as they call shooting fouls and non-shooting fouls. And it's too difficult to explain it on the radio. But suffice it to say, I think when you start watching games, you will be able to see the difference.
Yeah, and some of the fouls that you see with guys swinging under guys' hands and different things like that, those are, if it's a foul, it's still going to be a foul, but it's not going to be a shooting foul. So all those little things, they're trying to tweak it because guys are smart. It moves so fast, and they're trying to take care of the game and the viewership at the same time.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. As we said, Dave Yeager coming on at 4:30 today. And then at 5 o'clock, Willie Cauley-Stein. I think, and again, I'm going to just tell everyone this. I don't even need to ask Dave Yeager, but I'll ask him anyway because I know you want to know. Don't read anything at all into the starting lineup on Monday. All right? Don't read anything into it at all.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't. This is going to be a fluid thing. And at the same time, Grant, there are players on his team that he knows are going to get playing time, and then there's players who need to get playing time in the preseason so that he can get a read for them. So you may see them starting. You may see them playing more. And I think that goes to what you're saying, Grant.
Yeah, I mean, I could see all the veterans starting on Monday night. I could see a team of, like a George Hill, a Garrett Temple, a Carter, a Randolph, a Kufis. I mean, I could see that happening in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and then I could see the next game them maybe not playing at all.
Exactly. I could see them not even playing in San Antonio on Friday night. That's a great point.
Yeah.
And then you see a starting lineup of Willie, Scal, Jackson, Heald, Fox. You know what I mean? You could see a lot of different combinations.
I would believe, and we're going to get into this with Coach Yeager when we get him on at 4:30, that he's going to be experiment with a lot of different things in his mind as far as how to play, who to play, when to play them, different size lineups, a lot of different things because he has a lot of weapons right now.
Yep, absolutely. So that begins on Monday, the first of 6 preseason games for Sacramento. They will then go and play San Antonio in South Texas on Friday, the Lakers on Sunday, back here on Monday to take on Portland on the 9th, and then they are at the Clippers and at the Warriors.
Boy, oh boy, Grant. It just all of a sudden jumped up on us, didn't it? I'm ready to go, though. This is preseason basketball before we
know it. Got your bow ties, man?
Come on.
Got any new ones, or are you going with the same ones?
No, I haven't done any shopping in the bow tie area yet, but I have some that I didn't even wear last year.
That's what I mean. So when I see you
I have something
with
Coase, I have something new for
you. You'll have some new bow ties.
No doubt. Coming, baby. Matter of fact, right? I'll bring you one as well, Grant.
What, you going to bring me a bow tie?
And a pocket square. Can't have you without the pocket square. We're going to step your game up, Grant. You hear that, Star? Okay. She's over there going, yes!
But I would say this about the Kings, all right? We've been saying this for time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
I love the direction of this team. And I think the difference with everything between where we were 12 months ago and now is a lot different, okay? I think, and we talked to Dave Yeager about this, I think that his job now is easier because he's now completely acclimated himself to this community. We see all the things that he's doing both on the court and off the court with his foundation and everything. People know Dave. Dave knows the community. Mm-hmm. So that's a comfort factor. He and Vlade contracts now run in sync with one another. They've mm-hmm. got three more years left. So they've got 3 years to fix this thing, okay?
Yeah.
The front office is much, much more stable than it was, okay? Now everything is working in sync. You've got tremendous, and I really mean this, you have consummate professionals on this roster. Now you played, and so you know this better than I do, but I've been watching the NBA. This will be my 30th year.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes make too much out of whether someone's a good guy or not. Talent wins in this league.
Yes, it does.
All right? It's not necessarily how many times you go to church during a 52-week year. All right? It's talent wins in this league. But if you can have talent and you can have the good guy, consummate professional, then you're on to something.
Yeah, and you are. But you have to build a base. And I think that's the good thing that Dave and Vlade are beginning to do here is they got a lot of good kids that you like the way they work. You like their energy that they bring. Now you pair that with some veterans that
yep.
can teach them and help enforce what the coaching staff is saying. That base is where you want to go when you talk about culture, when you talk about winning, when you talk about working hard, coming early, staying
yeah.
late, all those things.
Because, you know, last year at this time, you had a new coaching staff and new, in the sense, new to Sacramento. Although, you know, Brian Gates and Elston Turner had coached there. But, you know, I mean, my point
yeah.
is a different coaching staff, not new in the sense of new. I mean, they had a tremendous success in Memphis.
Right.
That doesn't happen overnight. I mean, they got to get acclimated to everything going on. Now you have I guess I look at it this way. I was mentioning this to someone the other day at the gym. Not the gym I go to, where the Kings practice.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I feel like I've almost been traded to a different franchise.
Good point.
Everything is just like almost starting from scratch. Everything is new. I can feel it. You know, I don't even have to see it. I don't know how you feel about this. I can actually feel the difference of where this whole thing is heading.
Yeah, when you walk in, now I didn't get a chance to go to training camp last year, so I don't have it to you know, compare it to. But I will say this about Coach Yeager. Last year coming in, if you would have kept that same team together, then last year would have been last year. But really, it was a wash. This is really year one
yes.
with a little bit under his belt because it is, like to your point, Grant, it is a whole new environment that has been created down there. And whether it's
yeah.
looking at all the new hires, it goes across the board,
absolutely.
Not just the players.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, Dave Yeager at the trade deadline last year was given a new team for the final 25 games. They were on this road. And then at the All-Star break, Dave and the staff come back and they go, okay, you are now on a different road.
Really?
The road you were on, that road is now closed, and we're on this road. It's a brand new paved road, and we're going to keep it new, and all the young guys are going to play. I mean, so, you know, again, we yeah. had two different seasons last year.
Oh, no doubt. And you got to think about it. You're trying to implement your system in a lot of different things. Now you bring in a lot of young guys. You bring in rookies. You have to teach them. So it is a process to creating the right environment and atmosphere, and the Kings are well on their way to do
yeah.
that.
A couple of things I'm looking forward to in preseason, and we'll talk to Dave Yeager about this. Dave came on, and he's talked about this more than once, and he's also mentioned this to other members of the media. They really want to run this year.
Yes.
So you're going to see this team run more, and they have the athletes to do so.
No doubt.
You got a big and Willie that's like a deer running up and down the floor, and then you have one of the, if not the fastest guys now with De'Aaron Fox and others. And so, you know, so that's something I think that fans try to look for that when you go to the game on Monday or whenever you're checking out the Kings, see if you feel like, you know, they're running more, because Dave Yeager has talked about that. And again, he'll be on with us in about 15 minutes or so.
Bring your tennis neck, I tell you that. It is 4:13, time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they take on North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com.
Bring your what?
Your tennis neck.
What is that?
You know, you're looking left to right, left to right. They're going to be running fast.
What happens if you're sitting on the baseline?
Leave your tennis neck at home.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, don't forget Dave Yeager in about 10 minutes or so right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. And then Willie Cauley-Stein coming up at 5 o'clock. We are eventually going to get to your upset of the week, the lock of the week. And we got a lot of other things going on. Kevin Nagel, the owner of the Sacramento Republic and the man that is very close to bringing the MLS to Sacramento, will be here at 5:30. And then we'll check in on the Denver Broncos with Andrew Mason from DenverBroncos.com at 6:15. Huge game, AFC West. One of the maybe the game on the card this week in the National Football League. That is certainly one of them.
I wouldn't argue with you. This is a divisional game, Oakland-Denver. It is going to be fantastic. Monday night isn't – you mentioned that, Grant. Washington at Kansas City should be a really good one too, yep. But it doesn't get any better than Oakland-Denver.
No, it's going to be a good one, and the loser of this game could be, in early trouble. If Kansas City wins and goes to 4-0, then you're looking at – you know, either Denver or Oakland going to be two games back through four games.
And watch out. And if Kansas City wins, they're at home against a decent Washington team. Boy, oh, boy, they yep. are off to a dynamite start and getting better.
And I'll tell you something else about the Raiders, okay? If they look bad this week, you know, I'm not even talking about winning or losing, because on Sunday night they looked embarrassingly poor. In other words, they were beat in every facet of the game. If they lay an egg this week, and I'm not saying that they will, I'm only putting it out there if.
Right.
Then you got to wonder what's wrong with this team.
Yeah, you got to start asking those questions because, a lot of people say defensively they didn't address a lot of things that they would like to see, a linebacker and a lot of different stuff like that. Offensively, you thought they were going to come back and be the juggernaut or even better juggernaut than they were last year. That's not what you're seeing. So this will be a good test for them. And then, Grant, you got the Ravens at home and the Chargers at home and the Chiefs at home. 3 weeks in a row. The schedule is going to get tough, and it gets tougher later for the Raiders. So they got to start making some headway here.
And listen, if you're really bored, you know, you can watch the Bengals-Browns game. If you got the NFL Sunday ticket, you know, if you really, really want to become bored, if you want to take a nap, you got that game you can watch.
Well, you know what? Sometimes those games turn out to be the best.
But
you're talking about, there's a donut. Somebody's coming out of there with a W.
That could be 0-0.
You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do that.
I think that, you know, there really aren't a lot of what I would consider enticing games this week. I mean, New Orleans at Miami and London, nobody cares about that game.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo at Atlanta. Atlanta should roll in this game. Cincinnati, Cleveland, no one cares. Rams, Cowboys, you know, because it's Dallas, people will always watch. Detroit at Minnesota, because it's a divisional game, and Minnesota played well last week, so, you know, that's a game. Carolina at New England, boring. Jacksonville at the Jets, no one cares about that game. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, yes, good rivalry, still a good rivalry. Tennessee, Houston, San Francisco at Arizona, no. Eagles at the Chargers. You know what? I think that's going to be an entertaining game. I think the ball is going to be going up and down the field.
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, my point is there aren't a lot of really good games this week.
No. NFC West, San Francisco, Arizona? No? Okay. My bad.
You watching that game?
No. Well, I'm going to because it's my job.
Yeah, but you might have your eye on another game during that game.
I would think so.
All right, let me ask you this, all right? These are your 105 games.
All right.
Or the late game. San Francisco, Arizona, Philly, Chargers, New York at Tampa Bay, Oakland at Denver. Out of all those games, most people would say, I want to watch Oakland at Denver.
Darn right.
Right.
So
I have three TVs, all right? So I'll have San Francisco, Arizona, and I'll be like, yeah, I got to do it. The Giants and the Bucks will be on my big screen, and then in the upper right-hand corner, I'll have the Raiders and the Broncos.
So somebody pulling your leg to turn that TV on, Grant?
Got to do it, man. Got to have San Francisco, Arizona. Got to be up with it so that when we get our 149er call next week from the worst freaking bandwagon fans on the face of the planet, when we get that one guy, you know, Joe from Pixie East, you know, outside the Bay Area, wanting to talk about his 49ers, and he wants to talk about a play that lost the game on the second drive of the first quarter, I'll be able to go, you know what? Yeah, I remember that play.
Where are you, 49ers fans? Raiders are dominating.
Come on, man.
Come on.
All right. When we come back, Dave Yeager. That's next right here. Sports 1140 KHDK.
It is 4:33. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com.
All right. Each and every week we talk with the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager, doing double duty. I don't know if you heard him this morning on with Romy, the Jim Rome Show. He was on at 10 o'clock, and now he'll spend some time with us. How you doing, Dave?
I am well. It sounded like you hit it out of the park. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was... You know, Romy is, he's, you know, obviously he really admires you and respects you, and he loves having you on, and I've been blessed over the last 10 years to fill in for him, but today we did a spoof at the beginning of the show, and it was fun, to say the least. So it was nice hearing you on there. It's great. Yeah, I know. And it's great to hear you get the national recognition and you know, to talk to North America about what you're accomplishing. I'm just curious. You know, we talk about the youth of this team. You do have a couple of veterans. Do you find yourself doing more teaching in this training camp than you have in past years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And holding myself back and, you know, putting in more stuff. I've gone very slow and just try to master some smaller, simpler things that, you know, you'll be able to go through a little bit faster next year and even faster 2 years from now. So, yeah, we just want to build a real good base. I don't want to skip any steps. And it's always about, you know, fundamentals. And I think that's where it should start.
Coach, did you just say fundamentals? He said it like three times. I like to hear that, Coach. You said faster. You know,
when we had our younger team in Memphis, and we had Dr. Jack Ramsey, who Lionel Hollins played for.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he came to training camp, and you know, he's like, I'm not trying to sound old. But you got a young team, and just keep it about the fundamentals, and that's what we did, and it worked out really well.
No doubt. When you say faster, Coach, it's been said that you want to get up and down the court. How do you release a little bit of that to let the horses go, but at the same time try to keep them under control?
Yeah, that's interesting because it can get chaotic if you just turn them loose. So you know, you try to give them the structure for when things slow down. We try to practice, you know, different fast break drills, and look, this is how we want you to fill the lane. We don't just run up and down in straight lines. You know, we would like you to get out nice and wide when you're running the wing, so that when you get a bounce pass and you can attack the rim at a certain angle, or, you know, where are the bigs in this process? You know, are they in the way? Well, nobody wants to hear that they're in the way. Well, that doesn't make you feel very valued, right?
Right.
How do you give them the sugar that they deserve because they're doing the work on the glass? And we've got some guys that can really run, and so it'll be interesting how it all comes out and when you put different combinations of guys together. So we've got to learn a lot of learning to do about each other and our team. And certainly as coaches, it does take a little while, but, you know, there's some guys that have shown that they have some tools, that we can really play with, which is, you know, Bogdanovich, he's got some skills on him, to be a playmaker. And I'm really excited about him getting his feet on the ground in the NBA and kind of adjusting to the speed of the game. And, it's going to be interesting.
We're talking with Dave Yeager right here on Sports 1140. You know, you talked about, you know, different combinations, and I ask you this question because we get asked it all the time because, you know, the fans, who's starting? I mean, the bottom line is for these six games, you're going to see a lot of different combinations, right? Isn't that the message to the fans? Don't take too much, don't read too much into it?
Yeah, same message I gave to the team today. You know, don't worry about who's in a white jersey, a black jersey, or wearing a purple shirt, because sometimes I think young guys, you know, have a tendency to read so much into that. Look, where we are, I'm not even looking at comment. I'm just trying to teach how we want to play, and I can't have X number of the same position on the floor at the same time. So just try to put it together and make them feel that, hey, everybody's got the same chance. I've committed, you know, our team to playing. I think you should play 10 guys in this situation. And it's not like you're not waving the white flag. It's an opportunity to not only see what you have, but and evaluate, but develop guys through knowing, hey, I have a responsibility. I might be number nine, but I have a responsibility because I'm not hopefully going to get 6 minutes when I'm number nine. Coach is saying we're playing 10 guys, and it could be even or more even numbers across the board as far as minutes go. Man, I'm going to be counted on. And if I'm letting my teammates down, if I don't come to play, because when you play 10 guys and three guys have a bad night, you're going to lose. And so you got to get to that level. And when you play 10 guys and everybody's in it knowing they're going to play and compete, it's a real synergistic kind of deal. And the byproduct of that is that we have a chance to develop more guys.
Coach, you mentioned Bogdan Bogdanović, and we talked to him on the radio the other day at Media Day. And I mentioned to him, you know, one of the things that is really good for him is the ability to do so many different things, which will allow him to find his way onto the court. As you say, he continues to adjust to the pace of the game. Is there any one thing that you see that's going to allow him to be productive on the court before he adjusts to the pace?
Yeah, some of the things that he can do already, we're putting in some cutting game actions, and he can handle the basketball on the move. I think everybody thinks generally, and it is true, that it is putting the ball on the floor. He can get dribble handoffs and get a correct angle to make the next pass to set up his guy for the next cut, and that's just three things in a very short amount of time where I think, you know, some of the American players don't know how to pass and cut, but
right. He's
got that experience to play fast in the cutting game. And then if he doesn't have it, you go under the screen, then we get a rescreen, then he can put it on the floor, and then he can make passes around the court on some of those actions. So I'm looking forward to and the reason that we put some of this stuff in is especially for our space guys, for our wings, for our twos, our young ones, and some of our guys that we're moving over to small forward, to open up the court, to drive the basketball, to cut and create a shot for yourself, and if you cut hard, you'll create a shot for somebody else too.
So when you talk about Bogdan Bogdanović, and again, the majority of Kings fans really haven't seen him play, just in your observation of watching him for a couple of practice, do you feel he's got the ability to bring the ball up and play someone?
Oh, I wouldn't do that yet.
Okay.
Phrase that properly would
okay.
be like if he was playing point guard against a point guard who was going to pick him up,
right.
Probably not great for him. But when you know two guards aren't quite as quick, and it's a 6'5" guy, probably not going to try to get up and turn him four or five times in the backcourt. I could see him in offense for sure. I wouldn't throw him out there against
Chris Paul.
You know,
right.
Just pick a real point guard that.
Right.
Oh, I got one now, and the guy gets a 8-second violation in the backcourt.
Coach, when you look at the young guys that you have, is any one of them coming along faster? And I say young, I mean the four rookies that you see, or are they all kind of learning at their own pace?
Yeah, each individual has their own, and also learning styles. You know, it's interesting. I mean, it's no different than teaching classroom. I think this crew is a lot more educated than maybe 10 years ago when you came out of college.
Yeah.
Guys are much more self-aware about how they learn. So there are certain guys we don't put in the first group when we're showing a drill because they need to see it done first by somebody else. Or, some guys are visually need it done on a iPad or some video. And so we do that for them. Other guys, George Hill, I like it on diagrams. Yeah, I can see it on the court. I can do it on the court. And then I back it up with the diagrams. That all makes sense to me. So especially in the case of our young guys, each guy has a different learning style, which is interesting.
We're talking with Dave Yeager. I heard you discuss this with Romy this morning, and I've followed all the social media news through you and the Kings about your coaches' clinic coming up towards the end of October, October 26th, and that seems like a really neat deal. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, thank you. It's going to be fun. And we had a very successful first clinic, coaches clinic, and was well received from the comments that we've gotten, the feedback we've gotten. It's at the practice facility, which is just, top notch, as we all know, and not a lot of people get to experience that. And so it's pretty cool that you can register and, hear from some good coaches, talk the game. I can connect with, people locally and begin those relationships. But at the same time, what's even over the top for this one is that as part of the day of the clinic, all 150 participants will be able to watch us practice live, and I'll be mic'd up and I'll be emceeing the practice. And it won't be just a beauty pageant practice. It is a real regular season practice. We'll probably go over some of the sets because we play Washington the next day. A little bit of the game plan, and I don't think that hurts our players at all. I think they always get a little extra juice when other people are in the gym, as long as they never embarrass each other or whatnot in this. So I think it'll be a great experience for the coaches to come and see that. And then we'll continue to, have lunch and continue the clinic. So it'll be a great deal.
Coach, you're going to be mic'd up?
I don't let it happen very often, but, playoffs and coaching clinic.
There you go. Out of the three veterans, when you look at them, Grant and myself got a chance to come down and watch a little bit. They look to help these young guys quite a bit. What do you look to try to maybe go through them? Because I've said to Grant, and we've talked about it, the ability for you to say something and then them to reinforce that, I think, is invaluable. How do they kind of help you?
Yeah, it's across the board. It might be offense, it might be defense, it might be just the way we go about our business, different cuts or little things of, George Hill was doing old guy tricks to De'Aaron Fox the other day when he was guarding him. Well, coach, we need to put in a counter so we can get a back cut so we can get De'Aaron open. No, De'Aaron needs to learn
some of
the older guy tricks, get his hands off him, start, stop, stick your butt out, and then, you need to get a catch or whatever. I'm getting a little detail, but just for example, and George just looked at me and goes, exactly. We don't have a counter for every single thing. Sometimes you got to just learn these things, and that's where the learning process is there, but also how to be a pro. Talk about, issues that are going around our game or issues that we deal with on day-to-day life as a group of guys together. What are we doing with our cell phones before the game? Mm-hmm. I mean, what have we done as a society? We take it, well, it's an issue for me too, because I don't love bringing it together for halftime and I got to get their attention. Hey, put your phones away. No, you know what? We're not having that. And so I can go to my veterans for some of that. I can lay it down. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we do this, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not going to stand and put one of my managers in the locker room for 2.5 hours to catch somebody on their phone. It's self-policing. And so that's, just an example of some of the things that they'll do.
Finally, we were on a broadcaster's conference call for about an hour today with the NBA. And one of the things that they were going over with us is the difference in timeouts this year from 18 to 14, and that the mandatory timeouts are going to be 2 minutes and 45 seconds, and the team timeout will be a minute and 15. But the reduction of four per game, will that affect how coaches coach? Will that affect you in any way, shape, or form?
A little bit, yeah, because, you've had three mandatory timeouts in the second and fourth quarter, and, whether you're looking at it from a fan's point of view or not, but from out on the court, it's kind of like too many. Sometimes you don't need that. However, if you got to go into your pocket to take one, let's say, the other guy takes one early and, I take one early and he follows it up and takes another one. And now there's still 6 minutes left to go in the second quarter and things, I need to stop a run or I need to make a correction. I got to go in my pocket and take one that's going to cost me towards the end of the game. And that can happen earlier. So I think you got to be conscious of that. And, there's less, preseason games to work on that. And at this point with our team, I'm so deep into the fundamentals of how we're teaching everything. Obviously I'm aware of the rules, but how do you, to best to utilize that as we go forward and what's best for our team and how to set games up so that, with a young team, we always talk about the golden minutes and winning close games. My concern is, man, we got to get to that 42-minute mark. We got to get to that point in the game where there's 6 minutes left and we're still in it. So it'll be interesting.
Well, enjoy the evening. Monday, the Kings start their preseason against the Spurs, and we'll see you out there on Monday, Dave, and have a good weekend.
I think it's going to be exciting. For a preseason game, I know our guys are all juiced up. Think of the number of guys that's the first time they put on their jersey.
Wow.
It's going to be an exciting night. And, man, we're going to do like dress rehearsal for a preseason game. This is where the family room is. This is where the other locker room is. And it's a transition period. And, we've got a lot of new faces in general. So we're going to go through that, all that stuff, and make them real comfortable and go out there and compete our tail off. And, you know, my plan right now is to play everybody on Monday night, from, you know, older guys to younger guys to everybody. So get that first one out of the way and have some tape to evaluate, and then keep trucking forward.
All right, Dave, take care. Thanks very much.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, be good. That's Dave Yeager, and there you go. You know, again, as I told you, they're going to be playing a lot of different combinations. Don't read too much into it, so on and so forth.
Grant, I love Coach Yeager. We talked to him, and you know what? He used the word fundamental six times in one session.
I know
session.
You like that.
Oh, man, I love it here.
Players probably don't like it as much.
I don't care.
But and again, the players understand why they're doing it. But, you know, the reason why I asked him about Bogdan is I don't know a lot about him. And I was curious if he felt that he could handle the ball enough at times if he have to go over and play one. And he didn't seem like he's ready to do that just yet. Now, I understand the point he was making.
Yes.
He's being guarded by a traditional two. He's not a prolific, you know, guard you 94 feet like you would. Like, he couldn't bring the ball up against a player like you.
No.
But there are a lot of two guards that don't play the way you played.
You know, and also, he's going to learn those things, Grant. I mean, he's going to learn how to take a guy really hard to the right and behind his back, and then he's up the court. And once he shows a guy that he can handle it, he'll be able to bring the ball up the court. I believe Coach thinks he can probably get the ball off the board and bring it up. That's a little different in transition as opposed to depending on him to do it. I think with the mindset that he has and how he looks as a player, he should be able to do it, just not yet.
All right, if you want to comment on what Coach had to say, 339-1140. That's 339-1140. And 800-920-1140. Willie Cauley-Stein's going to be coming on in about 10 minutes.
Oh, boy. The Wilster. I can't wait, man. I always like talking to Willie. And it's good, actually, go back to back. You get a coach's perspective. You get to hear a player's perspective. We're getting closer and closer, Kings fans. The season is here, and we are excited.
All right. So, again, if you want to call and talk about anything that the coach had to say, you've got the numbers. We're also looking for your upset of the week. We're looking for your luck of the week with the NFL, which started last night. And again, highlighted, we think, by the game on Sunday in Denver with the Raiders and the Broncos.
That's right, KHDK fans. Come strong or carry on, one of the two. Let's hear them. Upset and a lock. I want to hear it because my upset didn't work out. I picked Chicago. I'll take that one on the chin. The lock's going down, Grant. Seattle. It's an easy one for me.
That's a real reach, boy, with a team that's favored by 13.5 points.
Look, man, you said it's common sense. I'm using my common sense.
Yeah, that's true. I can't get on you for that. You're right.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
You're right. You think there's any way in the world Carolina can beat New England? Because I don't. I mean, when I say any way in the world, any given Sunday, but I mean, Carolina looks horrible, don't they?
Yeah, and you know what? New England, they've squeaked out a few, and you got to know that they're going to continue to tighten up the little things. If Cam Newton just came out and played crazy, which he hasn't, you know, he could lead a team. I don't see that happening. I don't know. We'd have to look this up, but when's the last time New England lost two home games in a season?
Yeah.
How about that? And they've already lost opening night to Kansas City. So, I don't see that happening, Napes.
To me, Cam Newton's a guy that's really regressed in the National Football League.
He has. His completion percentage from his MVP season to last season went down tremendously. I think in it he's taken a lot of hits, Grant. But the ability to stay in that pocket and deliver passes, they've given him some more weapons. I want to say I seen a statistic that compared two of the top running backs to, gosh, who was it? It was a quarterback, and you had never thought. But the quarterback had more rushing yards than those two, and one of them was McCaffrey from Carolina. And, you know, when you look at Cam Grant and his ability to run the ball, I think sometimes he just – instead of staying in the pocket and letting the play develop, he chooses to use that speed, that body that he has, and he turns into a running back. And when that happens, he's going to take some massive hits, and he's suffering for it now.
All right, we've got all of that. Again, we want your lock of the week, your upset of the week. And you can go college tomorrow if you want. It's not a great weekend in college football. It's just not that. We do have a good college. Well,
tonight.
I don't know if it's good, but we have college football on tonight with USC at Washington State. We'll have that game for you at 7 o'clock.
Oh, SC over in Pullman. It's lit right now, Grant.
Yeah, better to play in Pullman now than in November.
I tell you that. You might not make it in. Well, you might not make it out. Snow will be in abundance. This should be an interesting one tonight. Two ranked teams of Washington State could pull one out. It could shock college football right now and maybe move somebody else up into that top 6-7 echelon, because that's where you want to kind of hang around and hope someone loses to make it into that final six.
Did you ever play a Pullman?
No, but my brother went there, and I went over and played some pickup hoops over there. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if you'd ever play there when you were Pepperdine in a non-conference type of a game. You know,
no, us waves. We
I know you don't want to go
there.
To you know.
Come on,
yeah, you know
leave
what?
Malibu and go to Pullman.
You know what? I just had to ask. You had to go somewhere. You didn't play all your games at home, did you?
No, we did not. But
I mean, I know that would have been what everyone would have preferred. That was coming.
Yes.
No one would want to play you in their gym. Let's go play them down there at their place.
No doubt
Who's
about it.
Who was your coach when you were in college?
Tom Asbury.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he was a disciple of the great John Wooden and Jim Herrick. And, man, he was an absolute animal. Just what I needed at that time. He would absolutely lose it on me.
Is that right?
Yes, he would.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, boy, in the worst way. I was telling somebody a story today, Grant, that when I first got there, I'd go to practice. I didn't play my first year because Prop 48, but when I started playing, he would just ridicule me, just be all over, "Chrissy, you think you're going to make it to the NBA?" And finally, man, I had enough. Grant, I was like young, and I'm not that guy. So I'd go, "Coach," you know, and after practice, he would say, "Doug, great practice today." And I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Is he bipolar or something? So I said, "Hey, coach, can I come up and holler at your office?" "Yeah, come on up, buddy." So I go up and I sit down and I just look at him and I say, "Coach, what's with all that, you know, what's going on down there?" And he goes, "You know, I've been waiting, Dougie, I've been waiting for you to come up and talk to me."
Seriously?
Yeah, I swear.
He says, "Dougie, I've been waiting for you to come up and talk to me." Yes. I love that.
And I said, "What's up?" And he goes, "Well, you know what? You're our best player, and if I do that to you, I don't have to say a word to anybody else." And from that day on, we never had a problem, Grant. He still did it, but I understood what the process was. It was awesome.
I like that.
I loved the man today.
All right. We will be right back. Sports 1140 KHDK.